Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin.
And welcome back to it. It is, of course, the Sunday Sin Bin here at Triple M. It's been a massive weekend of rugby league. A couple of floggings, and for Tyre Power, if you miss the scores, here they are. Souths 34, Canberra 20, Melbourne 40, Cronulla 14, Broncos 36, Titans 28, Panthers 28, Manly 16, Parramatta 32, Dogs 10, Roosters 38 beat the Knights 4, and those scores are always thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. We've got Gordon Tallis, we've got Paul Kemp, we've got James Hooper. I'm going straight to you. You've got your hand up.
Yeah, there's a little bit of breaking news, Anthony. Rotten luck for the Sydney Roosters. Brett Morris and also Lindsay Collins have had those MRI scans this morning, and the worst fears have been confirmed. They've both done ACL injuries. They will both be out for the remainder of this season. In all likelihood, very sad circumstances for Brett Morris, but that will probably be the last time that we see the great Beemores on the NRL stage. So, yeah, everybody in the game's thinking about Brett at the moment. He's an absolute champion, and I'm sure that everyone at the Sydney Roosters will be getting around him and giving him all the support that he needs over the course of the coming days and weeks.
Absolutely, and an absolute end of an era there, and we wish him all the very best over the next month or so. No doubt he'll pop up in a role with the NRL. He might even pop up here at Triple M, who knows? But look, boys, right now we're going to talk about this conference system. Before I go to get your thoughts, in particular, Paul, here, I want to play you some audio of the boss of the NRL, Peter Volandis, on NRL 360.
I don't know how people are getting the detail, because there is no detail. It was just looking at a possible two conference with 18 teams. I've seen detail today in some of the media that I've never seen before. So, look, you can't stand still whatever your product is. And as I've said from day one, I will consider the fan, I will consider our customer, and deliver it for the fans. And it's by no means a fait accompli. It's an idea that will require analysis, it will require feedback, and as we go around to the 16 clubs, we're seeking that feedback. And if it was to happen, it's at least 4 years away at the minimum.
Yeah, well, that why I wanted to play that up first there, Kendi, is because Peter Volandis says he doesn't know where people are getting the detail. And the first criticism people have of this, if they have the detail right, is that they think that there could not be a local derby grand final, e.g. Parramatta Penrith, Souths Roosters. So that's not set in stone. Either is the conference system, but your issue in particular was whether or not we have enough NRL quality players to fill another one or two teams.
Oh, look, Anthony, there's a whole lot of hairs on this, and I like what I heard from Peter Volandis about the fact that they're going to really go in depth with this and just really determine whether it's worth pursuing, and then they'll take a lot of feedback. If it is worth pursuing, then to see how it actually is going to shape up. The idea of a conference where the two conference champions then come together in a Super Bowl-type format, I think is ridiculous. I hate the idea. I think, yeah, if you look at the 1980s, for example, the two dominant teams in the competition, I know it was primarily a Sydney competition then, but the two dominant teams of the 80s were Parramatta and Canterbury, and I'd hate to start a season where you already knew they couldn't play off in the title decider at the end of the year because they come from the same conference. If you look at the 90s, the two dominant teams of the 90s were the Broncos and the Raiders. Again, they would be the out-of-Sydney conference. And I'd hate to see us start a season knowing that they couldn't play in a grand final. So I think that idea of a Super Bowl format where the conference champions are brought together, I don't like it anyway. But the idea, in some ways, I think a conference system is almost inevitable because the game, if the game is going to grow and continue to expand and we have more and more teams, then it's almost, I suppose, it's almost impossible to just have a fair competition, one and a half rounds, and just where it just keeps getting bigger because you're eventually going to get teams that don't play each other very much at all. And we don't need to go down that route. So I think at some point the conference makes sense. We almost need some crossover. You need teams playing within conferences and swapping conferences while they stay there, but they have that crossover where we have right now. But if you almost look at the competition now, most teams, for example, Penrith, the eight Sydney clubs, Penrith play the other seven twice already. Yeah, and a lot of teams get those rivalries, those local derbies already in the draw. So we're already doing a lot of that. So there is a lot of talk about it. It's not a new idea for the game, but it's created a lot of debate. A lot of people are for it, a lot of people dead set against it. And as far as the depth in the competition, it's been really, the new rules have really, I think, illustrated the difference in playing strengths of certain clubs, and what that's allowed is that the good teams have got better, the bad teams have got worse. So that divide between Team 1 and Team 16 now is bigger than it's ever, well, not ever been, but it's bigger than it's been for some time. And that's part of the new rules. Now, I think the new rules are actually fairer and are actually have exposed the fact that the old rules kept the teams closer together almost artificially. But there is concern among the coaches, particularly, that there's not enough depth to go around and there's not going to be enough high-quality players to draw upon, and you get players who normally would be reserve graders or State Cup players who will now play first grade. And that's a legitimate complaint, because that's almost inevitable when you expand in any competition, because you've got to take weaker players into your competition to make the numbers. But eventually, the game has got to, and this is the other part to it, in the same week that this conference system broke, we also had Noel Cleal come out and say he's never seen bush football in a worse state. And we're seeing, like my old football club up the Central Coast is not fielding a first-grade team this year, just simply because of the dying of bush footy. And there's a whole multitude of reasons for that. And it's happening all around the country in New South Wales and Queensland. But the game needs to start fighting back against the AFL and start getting players and participation numbers. Forget all this elite academy stuff. They've already got the elite players. They need to get participation, and they need to spread the tentacles wider and get more kids who are not playing rugby league, who are playing other sports, get them back playing rugby league like they all did 30, 40 years ago, when it was basically the only game you played in the bush with maybe a bit of rugby on the Saturday. So that's, if we can fix that, then you'll fix the depth problem at the highest level because you'll have more players coming through.
And Paul, just on the conference system, right, if it's Sydney based and New South Wales, New South Wales based and the rest.
Well, Sydney based and the rest, yeah.
Yeah, right. So how's that fare on Melbourne flying every week to either Townsville, which would be their longest flight, or New Zealand, and those sides catch a bus or drive their own car to games for the 16 rounds or whatever?
It's not fair, Gordon, in that respect. But I will say, Melbourne already got to travel every second week. They play a home game and then they're already traveling. Cowboys travel every second week.
Or flying up to North Queensland to Brisbane.
Well, or whatever. I get that. It takes out one of their shorter trips, but they are still travelling nearly every week. And Gordon, that has been raised. It's a viable complaint or concern from those clubs that how much travelling they'll be doing. Because the one thing that we do know, and we saw this last season, is the teams that did the most travel last year under the bubble really started to, and I put the Canberra Raiders in this, they really started to show signs of fatigue towards the end of the season, whereas a team like Melbourne, who were all based on the Sunshine Coast and playing all their games out of Brisbane, ultimately they started playing the home games on the Sunshine Coast, they actually talked about how refreshed they felt because they weren't doing as much travelling as they had in other years. And that's always been one of the worries about the Warriors, is the toll it takes travelling a four-hour flight to Australia every second week.
And did you say it on television the other night, Paul? So if I'm following either conference, why would I turn on and watch the other conference if my team's playing in this?
If they're playing
in the same competition, you will turn on. So for ratings, I think it's Paul. And let me tell you, South Sydney, Dragons, Parramatta, Bulldogs, they pull big up here in Brisbane.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of fans up here that don't follow the Broncos that want to go watch South Sydney or go watch those traditional clubs that, you know, when we were watching our Brisbane competition, we always had two teams. You had a team in Sydney in a New South Wales competition. You had a team in the Queensland competition. And that's how it worked.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to lose.
Yeah.
And then that's that's something that we've got to look at. And just, I don't get why it's the club's jobs. Like, they go get a lot of country footballers, and probably not as much now, and they pull them out of all the country areas. They have to go back there and play games. I think that they should be assigned an area, and they have to play two games there, whether it's a trial match and take a team there, and it might be your lowest drawing, you know, game, you know, and it could be, you know, when you play the Warriors, you don't get a big crowd, or Raiders or whatever, because their fans don't travel. Mm. You have to take it to the country. You have to go out there and give back to the bush footy. And if we don't start making clubs do that, you know, and the reason why I fell in love with the game is guys like Wally Lewis and G Miles, they come up and played in Townsville when I was 8. Parramatta come up and played, I think, in 98, mate, when I was 15. They played the Broncos. I would see my stars in the hometown, and we had no competition. The Broncos just come into the comp, but we would see our stars coming up to our hometown in Townsville before the Cowboys. This is 10 years before the Cowboys, and playing games of rugby league. That's why I fell in love, because I could touch my heroes.
Yeah. Well, thankfully so far, Gordon Peter Volandis has proven that he's a can-do operator. And there was an article this week on the back of Noel Cleal coming out and saying he's never seen bush football in a worse state in 50 years, that the NRL is going, like, for how many years, Kenty, have we spoken about, oh, a plan to save the bush, and we're going to give back to the bush, we're going to do this for the bush. And in reality, the majority of it is always lip service. Yes, there's a couple of token games here and there, but there hasn't actually been a proper blueprint, long-term plan, strategy put in place and followed through. I think with this NRL administration, they're not going to just sit there and talk about it and make it look good in a presentation. They will actually follow through with it. So the proof will be how it unfolds over the next couple of years.
I love your idea there.
Well, that was exactly what was spoken about during the week, what they want to try and implement.
I think it's a great idea, but I don't think that's not going to fix bush football. Bush football needs more funding, and in some cases
that's part of it though.
Wouldn't that boost the junior rugby league? Wouldn't that help if they have a dinner and then all the players go out to those clubs and they put on dinners? But they're
band-aid solutions. They're quick fixes that give it. They're like sugar bursts. You know what I mean? You have your little sugar burst and then it ends. The problem, like if you want, the problem with the bush is what's happened is, and the bush clubs, many of them are almost to blame because there's this, they cannibalise each other. So within the bush football competitions themselves, you have the haves and the have-not clubs, and the clubs that are travelling well will go and pilfer the poorer clubs. And in some ways, they're responsible for their own downfall, because in their little arms race out in the Central Coast competition or in Group 2 or Group 6, the top clubs are always rummaging through and taking the best talent out of the less financial clubs, and they cause that big imbalance. They make it harder for those lesser clubs. The NRL's got a... I know in the AFL, in a lot of bush areas in the AFL, they have a point system as far as player talent, so that way it's not a salary cap, because there's such a disparity there. But what it does, it makes the talent spread happen, because clubs have a points total that they're allowed to get up to, and then they're not allowed to recruit beyond that. So it's like a salary cap, but as far as points go. Now, I think things like that can work, because we need to spread the talent, stop the rich clubs bashing up the poorer clubs in bush football. And then we need the NRL to get out there and stop just ticking boxes and going in and flying into a town for a day, doing a coaching clinic, say, right, that's Canamble done for the year. And then moving on. They need to go out there with dedicated strategies to try and rebuild the game, and they need to make rugby league appealing, and it goes all the way up to the top level. And this is why I think the NRL pushes so hard about this whole role model thing, because that's where AFL stole a march on rugby league, in that they sold themselves as a game that mums would want their kids to play. And while they were doing that, rugby league was going through all sorts of atrocities off the field that made rugby league look bit of a grubby game.
And hey, mate, because they're the same guys. Dustin Martin, their best player, has got tattoos all over his neck. His father's not allowed in his country, and he told a lady that he wanted to stab her with chopsticks.
I get that, Gordon.
Nice. Yeah,
look,
lovely.
Look, I'm not saying they are pristine, but I'm just saying that rugby league has got to have a whole-of-game approach about rebuilding the game. When the last broadcast deal was done and they got a massive pay rise, almost all that money went to the clubs and the players in the NRL. Very the grassroots funding got very little upgrade from the last broadcast deal. It was unacceptable. And the NRL, they didn't like the criticism about it. They defended themselves. They put out misinformation to defend themselves. But the fact was that John Grant was he was under assault from the clubs trying to get him removed from the commission. So he came out with his $13 million guarantee, which then got the clubs all back on side. And at the same time, Todd Greenberg, as the CEO, was under assault from the players, so he bumped up the salary cap, which suddenly made the players happy. And that's what happened. And that's why all that money that should have been going into grassroots funding is not going there.
It comes back to clubs. Was there a case, because when I signed for the Dragons years ago, because I hadn't played for Queensland, there was no transfer fee. Was there a transfer fee from the bush?
There used to be.
So then that's simple to put that back. Like if there's a young kid and he gets pulled out of Toowoomba or Townsville or whatever and he gets pulled into a system, you have to pay. So that means that you got to pick. You just can't go pick the eyes out of country football and get the kid to move to the city. So then you got to pay. I think it might have been $15,000 back then. So say it's 30. So then that club or that organisation or that area has that money that when that kid doesn't make it, they can buy them back. They say, mate, do you want to come back and captain coach? Because they've pulled you out of, like, you know what I mean? So it's like paying for the fruits that you're growing.
I tell you what I'd like to see. I'd like to see, you know, I've spoken to various people about this over the years, but I would like to see the NRL adopt something similar to like a farm system in American baseball, whereby if you are drafted, for example, by the Yankees, they will put you in their farm system and bring you through. And those clubs almost belong to the Yankees. I'd like a system whereby the NRL, whether they allocate NRL teams to certain regions or certain clubs. And if you want to come through that club, if you want to sign for the Roosters and you're playing out at Orange, then you have to play for the Roosters club out at Orange and you have to come through that system. So what that does then is it encourages the Sydney clubs to invest in bush football. And by doing that, you're going to strengthen bush football and you're going to make the NRL clubs responsible
But then every kid will want to go play for the Roosters in Orange and they'd be too strong. And if they're winning by 30 or 40 or 50, you know, that wouldn't be fair on the other guys.
No, but what I'm saying, so mate,
has a team in there.
Every club. So Orange Sims might be with the Roosters. Orange United might be with Cronulla. Yep. Bathurst Penguins, Bathurst Panthers. They're already linked to the Panthers. Right. So Oberon and Cowra, and all those teams would be linked to certain clubs.
But Commissioner Paul, I like it.
What about
it's got a great ring? Commissioner Paul.
What about?
I'll give you a little booster pillow so you can sit up there. You can sit.
To close this off, though, boys, isn't it?
You can be my henchman.
It's a different world we live in now. Where is it time? Is it time? We've sort of discussed something once years ago. Is it time, Paul and Hoops and Gordy, where these bigger regional centres, where rugby league was once the only kid in town, places like Wagga, or places like maybe Tamworth, maybe places like Tweed Heads, maybe Lismore, these bigger regional centres, should they be playing in some sort of a state competition with some of the sort of second-tier Sydney teams?
No, because what drives footy, Anthony, at that level is the tribalism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what drives it. That's why people volunteer and do all this work for no pay for their teams because they just love their club. So you start saying to these teams, you're now going to go into a state competition. It's no longer going to be your local team because it's got to be more of a regional team or whatever. There's not the passion there for those people to get out of bed and get up and go and mark the field in the morning, man the tuck shop all day, do those sorts of things.
Absolutely.
And that's in this need for professionalism, that's what we're eliminating in the game. And all these people who love their club, who grew up loving their Rimba Magpies, who was, if not the oldest club in country football, was one of the oldest clubs in country football, and don't have a team this year. Because they just did not have the numbers. It's really sad. And I know a lot of people who did a lot of work for a lot of years and never got a cent from the club. Yeah. Never asked for a cent from the club.
But that's how we run, because my old club, Central,
and we need to keep
that's the only club I played 10 years for. That's my favourite cup, because I went there in under 8. I left it under 18. If people ask me, and all the other clubs, like we played against Townsville Brothers, and I actually used to say I dislike Brothers Townsville more than New South Wales, and I actually do.
Yeah, you know, but, I mean, and that's great. That's great for the game.
But that's the tribalism
exists.
And then that's what exists in local footy, and that's what we got to make sure stays there.
We need to keep that, but too many people come out from outside and try to interfere with it, and meanwhile, within those competitions, the teams are eating each other, and there's not enough strong administrators to say, listen, guys, if you're allowed to keep doing this, you're only going to have a three-team comp.
Yeah, well, my junior team, the Waterloo Waratahs, they come to me and said, look, can you come and can you host a function? You know what? And I said, God love them, but they just didn't have the budget. So I couldn't help them out. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll take a break.
It's all about the folding.
I tell you
and
what.
We'll ask the question.
One pocket's got green apples, the other's got pineapples. I don't know which one's the ground.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and ask the question, what is wrong with Canberra?
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. It's the Sunday Sin Bin. We've got a big game for you coming up at 4 o'clock across the Triple M network today. Dragons, Tigers. Well, you think the Dragons might win that one, but the boys will have plenty to say about that one. And Dan will call it for you later on this afternoon. It's 4 o'clock kickoff, that one. South 34, Canberra 20 so far. Melbourne 40, Cronulla 14. Broncos 36 over the Titans 28. Panthers beat Manly 28-16, Roosters 38, Knights 4, and another great win for Parramatta. 32 over the Dogs 10, and of course, boys, that's where Bryce Cartwright is now plying his trade with the Parramatta Reels. I believe we've got him on the line. Bryce Cartwright, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on. Nice to see you doing well again. And I assume for you, mate, it's probably just great to be back in Western Sydney.
Yeah, mate, it's nice to be home, back where I grew up, so, and also nice to be winning some footy games. So it's been a pretty good last month.
Yeah, Bryce, congratulations on your return to form this year. But I want to ask, when you were going through some of those tough times over the course of the last couple of years, was there a point where you ever thought, with the injuries and with all the other criticism and whatnot, you thought you might give it away? Or
yeah, look, mate, it was pretty tough. You know, it was, you know, three sort of long years where I wasn't, you know, playing any good footy at all, and sort of all the external noise and all those kinds of things. But, you know, each day I just kept putting my head down and working hard, and, you know, I'm starting to see a few rewards now, and, you know, I'm in a great team, and I've got some good people around me, and I'm back at home, so I'm in a really good place.
When you were without a club, you went and trained with Spud Carroll, mate. Did he help you along a bit?
Yeah, mate, he bashed me around for about 2 months, so it was good fun down there in his gym, and I got along real well with Spud. So we trained pretty hard, and he got me in good shape for the preseason coming into Para.
What has been, like, if you put it down there, Bryce, the big difference, the big change that or I suppose the awakening for you? What was it that sort of you figured out, this is what works for me and this is what I need to do?
I think Brad plays a big part in that. He just sort of said to me, we had a real honest chat when I first came down. He said what he thought, you know, what I was good at and what I was bad at and the things that I need to work on. And he just said I didn't have to be the player that, you know, that does everything. I just need to do my job. There's, you know, Parramatta's got a lot of quality players and it's a really good team. So I just had to go out there and do my job, and, you know, good things will happen off the back of that.
Can I ask you, Bryce, when you were sort of having second thoughts about what was the best next step for you personally, what kept you going in terms of wanting to play the game?
Oh, probably definitely my children, mate. I just, you know, I wanted to make them proud. You know, even though they're really young, I just, when they grow up, I want them to know that I never gave up, and, you know, no matter what happened, that they could say that their dad, you know, he kept fighting throughout, you know, those hard times, and, you know, I didn't want to let them down or my family.
Yeah, well, your form certainly indicated that so far this season. What about the Eels? Tell us a little bit about them as a club and why you're enjoying your football so much this season.
Yeah, I love it there. It feels like I've been there for years, mate. You know, I grew up with most of those boys, whether it was playing against them or playing with them in rep teams. And, you know, from the first day I got there, everyone from the staff to the players made me feel at home. And, you know, no one's put any pressure on me. They've just, they've just told me to go out and do my job, and you know they're not expecting too much from me. They've just, you know, told me to do all the simple things right, and it's just, it's a really happy place to be.
And it must be nice, mate, sitting there at a club that's travelling so well. It's a certain finals threat, grand final threat. Like, you, they're going good places, the Eels, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they've had a strong couple of last years, and you know, we started off this year really well. And you know, I sort of forgot what it felt like to win for a while there. So it's been nice winning some footy games, and you know, I forget how good it is coming into a Monday video session coming off a win.
Must be. Just take us into your training with Spud, because he's got the world's smallest boxing ring. Okay, like you put a telephone in there, you start making calls. Like, how did you go when he got you in the ring? Because look, it's not a big ring, is it?
Yeah, nah, there's no hiding from him in there. You have to cop a few punches. So, you know, we stepped in there. Yeah, every day I was there, and it was pretty old school, the training, just roller boxing, you know, a lot of push-ups, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, he really took it back to the old school way.
Did he try and hit you in the head with that empty keg that he gets you to do push-ups and then lift it up over your head and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, we're doing that every day, and he wouldn't stop letting me know how good he was at it.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him. That sounds like when we train there. The other thing he does too is he goes, mate, let's just get in the ring. And like Spud outweighs me probably by about 30 kilos, right? So he said, mate, we'll get in the ring, we'll do some body sparring. So already you're terrified. But he inevitably clips around the chin. Always, sorry, mate. And just moves on. Like you got little birds whistling in your head, and he's just apologising, telling you to keep going. You're lucky. You'd be taller than him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we're about the same height, but yeah, no, he wasn't going easy on me. That's cool. There's no in between him with him.
Hey, on the footy front, Bryce, any update on your teammate from last night? There were some real concerns when Nathan Brown came from the field, and he's such an integral part of everything that Parramatta does. But I think there was a little bit of good news today, wasn't there, that it isn't long-term and it's certainly not his ACL.
Yeah, no, it was pretty scary when we first seen him go down, but thankfully enough, it was just his hip pointer, and yeah, I've seen him at recovery this morning, and he was walking around fine. So the scan's come up all clear, I think, and I think he should be good to go. And maybe this week we'll see how he goes. But he was walking pretty good today, so yeah, just thankful enough it wasn't anything serious.
Mate, what about, I don't know if the boys have covered off on this. Obviously, you got a lifeline there from Parramatta, and you're playing the best football that you've played in years. What's the future hold for you, mate? Are you tied down there for long?
I signed a one-year deal, so hopefully, you know, I can just keep playing some good footy, and, you know, I'd love to stay at Para. You know, they took a chance on me, and I'm really close with all the boys there, so, you know, I can see them going really far into this competition as well, and not just this year, but in the next couple of years. So I just got to keep playing footy, and then, you know, hopefully contract stuff sorts itself out.
Hey, Bryce, so when you were, you know, sort of struggling for some form and, you know, you weren't sure whether you were going to have an NRL career, what did you learn about yourself? You said that you wanted to, you know, make your kids proud, but what else did you learn about yourself for all those young boys out there listening?
Probably just not to listen to the outside noise, you know. I think these days, especially with all the social media, that kind of thing, I know for myself, I probably got a bit too much caught up in that when it was first going on, and probably read into too many things and let that affect me as well, so... yeah, if I could give someone advice that was going through something like that I did, it's probably just to not listen to the, you know, external noise, just listen to the people close to you, you know, your family, support network, all those kind of things. So that's what I really relied on probably in the last year or so.
Mate, we'll let you go, and we wish you all the very best for the remainder of the season with Parramatta. It's just great back to see you playing with some confidence and playing some good footy with your old mates again.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Bryce Cartwright. Still only a young bloke, still only 26 years old, so he's still got many, many years to have another real decent crack in the NRL. I am broadcasting live in the beautiful city of Brisbane with Gordy Tallis as we watch a couple of jet skis come down the Brisbane River. Absolutely picturesque, Gordy.
Is that Spud?
It could be Spud.
Might be
straight up the Brisbane River. Yeah. All right. Well, boys,
we're
going to
take a
break.
If there's a free food up there, it's
Spud. Boys, just a score update. Just to repeat this score that we from earlier here. Remembering, of course, right now the Cowboys are playing the Warriors with 7 till half time. The Warriors lead the Cowboys 18-4 as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, welcome back. Sunday Sin Bin right across the east coast of Australia for rugby league lovers. Yes, we will be there for Origin as well, the best coverage of NRL. We got Paul Kemp, we got James Triceps Hooper, Gordy Tallis and Maroon here today. Get your score update shortly on the game between the Warriors and the Cowboys. We'll just get that for you right now, in fact, because the Cowboys only just scored a try. So it's
around the grounds for Ty Power, Anthony, and Kumo
Tires.
Around
the grounds, let's go to Wollongong Stadium and Illawarra.
18-4 to the Warriors. 18-4. Valentine Holmes missed that conversion for the North Queensland Cowboys.
That's all thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. Boys, let's talk about the Raiders. And before we do, they have only won one game in their last six. They beat the Titans. Surprise, surprise. 20-4. But Panthers flogged them, Para flogged
them. Hey, careful. You realise Gordon's only about a metre away from you at the moment.
You're in the studio.
Well, what?
There's something I'm very brave.
I know. Mate, you know, I mean, I've got my job to do here.
Have you just seen a ghost, Anthony? You know what, you're starting, the colour's starting to go out of your face.
So, mate, when we were winning, you gave nothing to this segment. You gave nothing to the radio.
When we were winning. When was that? When was that?
I tell you what, we're beating you guys until about 60 to go, and you were having kittens, I got told. Right.
Yeah, I was, actually. I was calling that game too. Now, but in the fair dinkum department, we'll get to the Titans. Don't worry, that's for another discussion. But the Raiders, now, Panthers, Para and South have all given it to them, and the Cowboys come back from nearly 20 points down. You've all seen the games, Gordy. Let me start with you. What's wrong with the Raiders?
I think it's a bit of everything. I think that they're tired. They've been up for so long. Their star players are probably tired because they drive the stuff. And, I think that they probably need a bit of injection. I think they're finding out who they are. So when Josh Hodgson, it was his side. Then when he got injured, they played another style of footy. And then he's come back in and they're quite not gelling, you know, because he wants to be the star, being the number nine, and he deserves it because that's the style of player he is. And then Jack Whiten doesn't get the ball, or George Williams. And then they've had injuries as well, you know. Charns and, Papali and those guys are having a rest because, you know, they've got bigger issues to fry. But, you know, maybe they're big players that have been up for a long time, played a lot of footy, you know, haven't performed to the level that they should.
Mm. And that's the thing, Hoops. They rested a couple last week, and then in the warm-up, poor old Georgie Williams was injured.
Yeah, I don't think you can understate the loss of Charns, Nickel, Klokstad. When the Raiders made that grand final a couple of seasons ago now, all of their big gun players were in form, but he particularly was most likely the find of the season in terms of nobody expected a whole lot out of Charns when the Raiders initially got him out of the New Zealand Warriors system, and he really took off and caught fire. So then they've got some issues with some of their other big-name players, as you touched on, George Williams, injured in the warm-up leading into that game earlier this weekend. Off the back of that, Josh Papali'i, I don't know exactly the details of what is going on there, but I know his coach, Ricky Stewart, has said that they need to get the old Papa back. And I think Josh has spoken himself that, you know, rugby league just isn't his top priority at the moment. So there's obviously quite a bit going on behind the scenes in terms of the Raiders. They've got a couple of good weeks now. They face Newcastle and they face the Bulldogs. If they can chalk up a couple of wins, then they can start to turn things around.
Well, before we go to you, Paul, I've got some audio here on Ricky Stewart talking about just a few dodgy ref decisions. Have a listen to what Ricky has to say here.
This has been happening a lot this year to us, but it's, I look like a whinger, which I don't really give a shit about, being labelled the whinger. But when you get a game out there where it's 8-1 in penalties, I just think that's probably needs a discussion.
And your point is that even though it's 7 resets to nil in your favour, it doesn't equate to 8 penalties to 1 again.
The ruck was so slow tonight, mate. So slow. I mean, I can't believe it was only 7. But please don't, probably sounds like it, but, you know, I'm not being disrespectful to South. So they're playing good footy at the moment. when I thought we equaled the performance tonight. I was happy with the number of a big part of our game. But again, as I said, we can't keep giving away cheap 12, 18 points a game. That's what we're doing.
Good. Well, I got to say, Paul, at the moment, the restarts are driving me, Burko, especially around tackle one.
Yeah, I think the NRL, it's becoming an issue for the NRL. All the clubs have already, they've worked out that on tackle one, they generally will give a reset away because there's only one extra tackle. Everyone says, oh, six more tackles. It's not. It just restarts the count from tackle one. So you're adding one extra tackle, which is not much. But what you get, the advantage you get out of that is teams, because they're slowing that first tackle down so much, they're really setting their line well, and it allows them to then dominate the whole set of six to come because they're coming off the line fast. Whoever wins the first tackle generally wins the set, defensively or attacking wise, and that's allowing the defense to win the first to win the set by giving away that just one extra tackle, and out of that, it's causing a lot of frustration for the coaches. I think the NRL. I heard Brad Fittler say this earlier today on Channel 9, and I really agree with him. And I think the NRL's got to say, you know what, it's a professional foul. Yeah, we seem to have this idea that professional fouls can only be sin binnable when they're in try scoring opportunities. But the NRL just got to say, mate, it's a professional foul. You're deliberately holding him down for benefit, for a professional benefit, so therefore you're going to go and do time in the sin bin. And once you put a couple in the sin bin, and people say, oh, that's too harsh a penalty for something like that. Yes, it is. So don't do it. Once you put a couple in the bin, because of that, they'll soon stop doing it.
Mm.
But at the moment, every club is giving away penalties, particularly when you're coming off your try line, because in the old days, when you got a penalty rather than a restart, at least you got a kick for the line. You could kick it 20, 30 metres upfield and put yourself in better field position. Now you can't even do that because you just get a restart. You give away one extra
and
tackle.
And it come in for players slowing it down and the players going up to the referee and whinging and, you know, taking 10, 20 seconds out of the contest. Your line gets set. Everybody gets their breath back. Well, that's gone out of the game now, so with the reset. But when they do it on tackle one, two, and three, well, that should be a penalty, so they can just kick and play on. And they can't argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So then it's going to go back to penalties, and then they'll slow it down. So all they want to do is slow down the game. And they're doing
Gordon,
it on the
just
early
put one in the bin.
Their line. Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just put one in the bin.
And then that will stop it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break here, boys. We're going to lighten things up a little bit. Of course, we've got that game for
is
you.
Is Kenty going home yet?
We're going. Paul is going home at 3 o'clock.
Oh, right.
After which, Benji Marshall joins us. Now, there's a bit of a drama here because Benji and I are both. And I didn't book this, Paul, before you make any comments about cashies or anything. But Benji and I are booked in for the same corporate function this Friday. Mm. We hardly speak to each other. And we're going to have to hit the stage together, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
So you're still complaining about the fact that he won't return your calls?
Oh, mate, that ship sailed. That ship sailed.
Right,
you know,
okay.
I'm getting
so how are you
going
to be able to work with him then if you don't like the bloke?
Well, mate, unlike him, I'm a professional. And I didn't say I didn't like the bloke. I love the kid.
I want to
make Triple M his second home.
Sorry, I keep mixing up what home. I hear off air and on air. So sorry, you do like the bloke on air though,
I
don't
think
you?
The phrase you're looking for, Anthony, is money talks all languages.
Yes,
I think that is the phrase I'm
money
talking
makes
about.
Friendships. And
you're not here today for the love, are you? Here to get paid, aren't you, Hoops?
Correct. And while we're on that, Anthony, I'm glad you raised it. This was going to come up in Maroon Confidential. But we'll raise it now, seeing how the opportunity's presented itself. So can you please confirm or deny that you have been badgering, accosting, pressuring Triple M staff on Triple M time to put video packages together for yourself for corporate purposes outside of Triple M without the mention of so much of a cracker, a dollar, a cashew nut, any form of remuneration at all. So we're not just monopolising the photocopier for trivia purposes on Triple M time.
Or the coffee.
Not to mention the network paper supplies.
Yep.
And not the coffee and sugar you take home. Food on their desk. Yep. Everybody's morning tea.
Yep. The poor girls who came in the other day and found all their Easter eggs were gone.
But you've had the blowtorch on Tony Soprano to put together video packages for corporate entertainment purposes.
Just to be clear, what happened was, as you know, I do a lot of these corporate sports lunches. I do them for money because I love money, and I do them for money. I don't go and do them for nothing. So if you're about to call up and say there's one we need you to do for nothing because it's a charity, no, I'm not doing it for nothing before you waste your time. So what I asked Tony Soprano to do was make up a little USB with Nathan Hindmarsh and Brian Fletcher on it. Why? Because the three of us are coming up to hear on Magic Round, because Triple M's paying to fly us up, so why not, because I can bludge the airfare off Triple M, why not go to Brothers Ipswich and do this gig out there with Fletch and Hindy?
But the why only, wouldn't you ask me?
I did ask you. Well, you know what, Gordy? I hate to... You know what the honest truth is? I offered you up to them, but they didn't want you. They wanted Fletch and Hindy.
That's not true.
And the only thing, part of that you got wrong, Hoops, the only part of that you got wrong... was that I did offer Tony Soprano some money for his services and time.
How much?
Well, I'll
pull
you
out there. Because Tony can walk in and we can get him on the mic.
There's nil truth in that, Anthony, because said there was absolutely zero folding, nothing whatsoever mentioned.
Well, you don't want to get on the wrong side of him because he is part one of the big families out in Liverpool. But just to be clear again, so that we don't have to keep going through this conversation, there's a lot of teams around South Junior League, in particular one based around the airport. Mate, I don't do them for nothing, okay? If you want to, do you go to work for nothing? Because I don't. If you want to work for nothing, knock yourself out. One you guy should. Says Paul Kent does it for nothing. Well, buddy, you get Paul Kent to do it for nothing. You did one for nothing the other night, Hoops, for the Leichhardt Wanderers, and you nearly ruined it. Why? Because you don't know what you're doing, okay? I don't do them for nothing. I'm not going to start doing them for nothing. So let be the last time we have that chat. We'll take a break and we'll come back and say goodbye to Paul Kent as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. We've just got a quick update here. It's halftime. Warriors 24, Cowboys 4 at halftime. Warriors 24, Cowboys 4. Nick Arima's got a try. Berry, Murdoch, Masilla and Adam Pompey have all got tries. Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Paul Kent. Well, Paul, this is where we say goodbye to you. We'll catch you on NRL 360.
Yes, you will, Anthony. Goodbye. Look, just before I go too, we'll talk about you undercutting people to get your gigs, right? I heard you talking off air before with Gordon. Gordon charges the premium. You like to figure out what everyone else is selling themselves for, and you're coming just under.
I do.
So I think it's important that people know that when they get you in for the next gig, that they're basically getting the cheapest bloke around.
Well, as long as they know, Paul, this is good, because as long as they know they've got to pay for it, let's just be clear. Nobody, including me, goes to work for love. So please... Let's be clear. Every week you blokes bring this up. No, I don't do them for nothing. I'm not going to start doing
them. Have you ever done one for
nothing?
Can't you do the occasional one out of the goodness of the bottom of your heart?
Is there any kindness in that heart
for junior rugby league?
I do all South Sydney Football Club, South Sydney Football Club, South Sydney Players Association.
Oh, so one of the richest clubs around, you do for nothing.
That's what I do,
the one club that can probably afford you.
You don't get free Chinese and free tickets and you don't get free merchandise?
Yeah, I get all that. Yes, I do, absolutely.
Okay, so that's contra. So that's not free, that's contra.
Right. Well, anyway, what you three need to do is start worrying about yourselves, okay? You worry about yourselves, all right?
Are you okay?
No, that's
though,
okay.
That's
I think now, right, we're talking about each other's personal stuff. Paul, you need to cut back on your social living, your social life. You're out of control. You're a fair tomcat. You are out of control.
You're an alley cat. Look at
that. And God's honest truth, I met Gordy at the Caxton Street, the Caxton Hotel. He was eating a cheeseburger, which he bludged off them for nothing. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I didn't pay for it.
Right. And Hoops, mate, let me tell you something about you, mate. If Paul Kent, you're like, oh, Paul Kent's got chicken twisties. I want chicken twisties. Whatever he says, you say. We'll talk about this off air.
No, let's talk about it on air, Anthony.
No, we'll talk about this off air. Right. Warriors 24, Cowboys 4 is Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.